Good. Hey, welcome everybody. We're at the September 2017 masterclass for Showbiz Blueprint. I love running these. I was just taking a hike before this. I just went out at 4 o'clock and got back in time to jump in. And I was just thinking about how much knowledge there is in this group, how much wisdom, how much past experience. Even the four we've already had have just been baffling. And we'll keep this going. And I will only slightly beat myself for starting this in 2011, only a few months ago, realizing, shit, man, you don't know everything. Let's do masterclasses. So it's so good. Hey, Tracy, good to see you. And Dano, awesome. So, yeah, we'll jump into this thing live. I'm so excited about today's guest. Michael Spramelli is, you know, he's cool. He did Showbiz Blueprint a couple of years ago. One of these guys who's been kind of quiet in the group. But, you know, I always knew there was something cooking inside of him. And
oh, great. You know,
it's a parasite. No, I don't know what it is. It's a stomach infection. But anyway, we just had some great talks lately, and I've really just fallen in love with what he's doing, how he does it. Found out that he's, you know, kind of running this big company, big corporate thing behind the scenes. Maybe he'll do a little intro on that. But you know what he teaches us in this society where we can grab this thing and literally know anything in a second. Michael brings bridges the gap between knowing and using. He's going to show us today how to know something, and we'll have some examples of that, but also how to use it, how to apply it for our benefit on a dime, you know, really just to be able to shift. So, man, it transcends really anything I've thought about. I've studied around his stuff. I've looked at what he's doing in his business, and we've had a couple talks leading up to this, and I'm excited, and I don't want to waste any time. He said we'll probably have to put part two and three at some point in the future, and totally happy to do that if you guys jump into this. All right, you got Santa Monica, Los Angeles, Boston, Northern California, and around the world on the replay, Michael. So welcome.
Excellent.
Oh, and Phoenix on Sean. So there you go.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Barry, for having me. Hello to everyone. I recognize faces with names. I'm Michael Spramelli. I'll give you just a quick little backgrounder on me because I don't want to waste a lot of time with that. I want to get into this. I'm a corporate personality profiler by training. So what that means is I predict human behavior for real. Lends itself very nicely in a mentalism act because this is what I do every day. Companies hire me to profile job applicants so that they have an idea of how this person is going to behave, perform, and function. So what I'm going to share with you tonight is a simple but yet very powerful personality model that I work with that is going to aid you in a variety of different ways. A couple of things first off. Pardon the mess here. I've got some contractors pulling cable, so I'm kind of pressed up in the corner of my office. That's why all this nonsense is here. The other thing you might probably notice, I'll squint probably quite a bit throughout this. I've got the worst eyes in history, so it's not
also,
that I'm...
Also good for a mentalist act, though.
It's great for the blindfold. Anyways, but we're not here to talk about that. So I'm going to share with you, as I said, a model and a system that is usable. And I think that's the key piece. I work with, as I said, a variety of different personality models. And there's a lot of them out there. But you're not going to use something that's cumbersome and complex that takes years of study. You got to use something that is practical and easy to work with. So I'm going to dive in here. I'm going to go ahead and switch over to my screen. So we're going to navigate through some slides. If you have questions, please funnel them to Barry in the chat. We'll try to leave a little time for Q&A. And
yeah, I have a feeling... Doesn't sound like we have anyone in the car, so jump in real time if that helps you too.
Yeah, well, whatever. Absolutely. That's cool. Fine. So let me go ahead here to share my screen, and then we can confirm that we're seeing this. All right. We looking good?
There you are.
Okay. So let's get rolling here and not mess around. Well, all right. So one quick request, and that is, by all means, use this information. Profit from it, benefit from it, but don't sell it. This is how I earn a good part of my living, so you can't take this stuff and repackage it. I know you won't do that, but just need to ask that. But by all means, in your groups, in your offices, with your team, by all means, feel free to share this with them. All right, enough of that nonsense. I'll mention that what you're going to experience today may be like deja vu for some of you. And what I mean by that is there's a good chance that you've run up against this type of model before, but there's a lesser chance that you've seen and explained in the way that I'm going to explain it and break it down in a way that you can actually use it. Wow. Think of it like going back and reading a book for the second, third, or fourth time. You'll always pick up additional nuggets from it. So if you've seen a version of this before, this is going to take you into the deeper dive. If you haven't seen anything before, don't worry about it, because I'm going to guide you and Sherpa you through the whole thing. And the best analogy I can make is, if Barry, if people say to you, you know, oh, you're a juggler, you probably laugh at them, because it's so much more what you do than just juggle. I mean, you've got these whole presentations built around your act, and you're doing very unique things with, you know, golf balls and watermelons and God knows what else. Yep. So that's the message I want to drive forward here is this, if you tune into this stuff, I think you'll be very pleased. So what are we going to do? You know, you got to have an objective. So here we go. This seminar breaks down into three key areas. Number one, by the time we're done here, you're going to have a solid understanding on your core behavioral style.
Wow.
Why is this important? If you don't know how you are wired, and Barry, you talk a lot about this in the blueprint as far as genius and pleasure. So this will build right upon that. But if you don't know how you're wired, and you don't know how your communication style and your day-to-day operations are impacted by your behavior, you're missing out on a ton of information. So you're going to have a solid understanding of that before we get out of here today.
That's kind of scary for me, but go ahead.
Well, it shouldn't be, and I already got you figured out. See, that's the beauty of this. Well, that's what you're going to see. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. But when you start to use this, it almost becomes automatic. I mean, I can't go to a restaurant with my wife and sit down for 30 seconds. And I can tell you whether we're going to have good service or bad service, whether the server gives a damn or not, or if they're just punching the clock. It just becomes an awareness about you where it becomes almost automatic. So step two, I want to show you ways to identify the core behavioral style of your prospect and or client, because they behave differently. They respond to different things. They're not all cookie cutter. And then the last piece of the puzzle is how to adapt your behavior style to match the style of your prospect or client. Wow. And I think that last piece is very important. I want to highlight this just for a second, because how many times have we heard, well, we're in the people business first. You got to focus on the people. It's all about relationship management. Okay, that's good. But then how do we develop that? How do you actually create those real meaningful relationships? It's very easy to click around online and send emails and text and instant messages and these types of things. But how do you build the relationship? And that's what the third piece of the puzzle is. So that's our plan for this evening.
Wow, man, sounds amazing.
So, all right. I base what we're going to share with you on a very common thread, and it's not about brushing of teeth, but it's along the lines that people, all of us on this call included and everyone out there in the world, people are predictable. What do I mean by that? Take the simple act of brushing your teeth. I could bet you that if you set a timer for a week, didn't look at the timer, just went through your normal teeth brushing routine, you're going to end up brushing your teeth for about the same amount of time every day without even thinking about it. It's almost automatic. Same thing happens with a mundane task such as stirring coffee. So people are stirring coffee. They put their cream, their sweetener. No sweetener, of course, but lots of cream. And they're stirring and stirring. And without even consciously thinking of it, they're going to do that repeatedly, usually close to the same number of times whenever they're making coffee. Same with our eating habits. We tend to gravitate towards certain patterns of things that we like and don't like, and Barry's certainly the expert on that. But people get into routines that are just automatic, and sleep is another example. So these are mundane tasks. You know, all of these elements bring an area of predictability to them. And when I say they're mundane, that means they're just conscious, surface-level type of things. But think about for a second what happens if you go beyond the mundane and start to follow that thread through of people being predictable in their behaviors, the way they work, the way they respond to certain situations. The point of all this is we're able to capitalize on the idea that people are indeed predictable. And because of that, get an idea as to how they prefer to communicate, receive information, and how they're best going to respond with us. I hesitate to use the term exploit, but because it really isn't exploiting. It truly is creating a win-win. Because when you give people what they want in the format that they want it, at the speed and rate that they want it, that's how you build the rapport. It goes beyond just, you know, sending an e-zine once a week or whatever the case is. It's about actually connecting with them at a core level. Couple of things that I also want to mention here as we dive further into this. I need to get you guys in the ballpark.
I'm in.
Uh-oh. Batter up.
Batter up. And with that, he leaves us.
Yeah, it's the seventh inning stretch, maybe.
I know. Let me. That was funny. He did tell me he's in Asheville, North Carolina, where the tail end of Irma is landing. He said there may be power issues. Let me see. You. Man, this done. Is tough. Oh, here's his text. I will quote, shit power surge. So stand by. No problem. We'll give it a second. This is great. You know, this really makes me think about, hey, Jeremiah, good to see you, dude. I didn't look at who else had joined. Nice to see you. This is so confusing to me. I can't wait for this to be unwound a bit. But it's funny to think of me adjusting if I hear something in somebody's voice. I'm anxious to try it. I'm anxious to learn how to try it because I tend to just kind of go, well, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be predictable. So,
and you know what? I'll just say unconsciously, I'm sure this is so basic of what he's talking about, but sometimes I'm talking to people and I can tell instantly they want to get off the phone because they speak very rapidly. They don't really let me kind of finish my sentence. And they go towards closing statements. Okay, that is very nice. Well, thank you for calling me today.
Oh my gosh. You got to ask him about that, Mark. That's going to be a great one to hear a response from.
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say? Let's see. He's texting me. Waiting for the router. Hang on and vamp. What does he think? I'm an amateur? This is good. We're vamping.
Vamp.
We're all good.
So, Barry, what is your favorite color?
It depends who I'm talking to. I'd like to find out what their favorite color is first.
Just strap on your tap shoes.
Jeremiah, we should have you do a little flow, I think, man. You've been at those festivals. Do a little to fill in.
Well, actually, a couple of things came up right immediately as soon as he started chatting. I was on the phone with a client this afternoon, and I picked up the phone and was like, "Hey, is this so and so? My name's Jeremiah. You know, we've been in communication," and was like energetic, like I typically am.
Yeah.
And his response was, "Oh, hello." Like, I could tell he was just much different communication.
Hey, he's back. Oh, that's great. Hey, both those things. Mark and Jeremiah both had great questions that I'm going to bookmark for later in the call. Those are great, Mark.
Okay, that's fun. Look, my beautiful white balance settings just went to hell. Look, I was so beautifully toned and colored, but with the power of search, now I'm all pasty. Oh, well.
You missed some really good stuff, too. Oh, well, it's fine.
All right, well, just log those. And then, by the way, so everyone knows, I'm in the mountains, and we're on the tail end of that Irma stuff. So this I feared was an issue, and my uninterrupted power supply isn't getting here until Friday. So I hope this won't happen again. Nice. If it continues to happen, we'll do a rerun, and we'll fix it.
You warned me, and I filled them in. It's all good.
Perfect. Okay, so let's get back to where we were, which was over here. And okay, so what I was saying before is I need to get you all in the ballpark. What I mean by that is if you're inside this ballpark of understanding a person's personality and behavior, you're going to be 85 to 90% ahead of your competition. Now think about that for a second. Think of all the other entertainers out there who are running around selling their acts, you know, cold calling, mailing, doing whatever they're doing. I can guarantee you they're not tuned in to buying styles of the people who are out there to book them. So if you're in this ballpark anywhere, you're going to be in fine shape. So I can speak about this stuff for probably a week straight, but you don't need that. When I'm doing work with assessment clients and we're predicting life or death scenarios, whether someone's going to make it or not, I don't only need to be in the ballpark, but I need to be in the men's room at the ballpark. I have to be that accurate. Otherwise, all sorts of problems ensue. But you don't have to come anywhere near that in order to get benefit from this. All right, so let's keep rolling here. Here's my guarantee. Even though I have nothing to sell you, I will give you a guarantee anyways. You'll be using this stuff by the time you get off of this call. You can't help but not to. As I said, it's one of those things where it just becomes almost like an automatic situation. So what are we talking about here? I want to instill upon you an operating system. I want you to think of this personality model as sort of like a platform, whether you're a Windows fan or a Mac fan. Obviously, I got to update that. That's a little old because they've come out with multiple operating systems since. But let me ask you for a second, and anyone can chime in here. What does an operating system enable you to do?
Work more efficiently.
Okay, that's part of it. But there's even more, a core level that goes deeper than that, even more simplistic.
It's like speaking the language.
Right. Without an operating system, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't run any programs, any apps, any whatever. So the reason I classify this as an operating system is, yeah, this will serve as a foundation as far as how you connect with folks. But beyond that, it goes much deeper. You can use this in your personal lives. You can use this at church. You can use this when dealing with the bank teller. You can use it in any way that you want, because it's really that much of a core operating system that has an impact in every area of your life. So just file that away in the back of your head as we dig into this here. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the DISC behavioral model. I had the option to share with you several different models, but as I touched on before, I want you using this like right now. So how many of you have, oops, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. How many of you, just by yelling out, how many of you have run into DISC before in one iteration or another? Anyone? Great. I'm gonna appear like a genius tonight. Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So here's what DISC is. It's a way of organizing human behavior. It's a way of looking at how people go through life. It's not about intelligence. We're not measuring how bright someone is. We're not looking at good versus bad. There are no good or bad styles. All of these elements just are what they are. And these are the foundations of human behavior that go back. I mean, this model goes back BC. They have roots of it. I mean, that's how long this model has been around and how much research has been done on it. So what are we talking about? Why do we call this the DISC model? Well, it's based on four different factors where each letter of the word DISC represents one of those factors. Now, one other thing I'll mention is, you know, I've presented this maybe a couple of times. Wink, wink. So just ride it out with me, because at one point you're going to be saying, where's all this going? And then it's going to hit the moment when it gels. So just kind of let loose, put your mind in neutral, and just let me guide you, and this will all come together. So here are the four elements of the DISC model. The D stands for dominance. And the dominant factor in an individual's profile looks at how a person likes to respond to problems. More information on that in a moment. So that's what your D factor represents. The I factor stands for influence. And this gives us a read as to how someone is going to deal or interact with people. Are they able to bring people over to their point of view? Are they able to persuade them? Are they able to engage them? The S factor stands for steadiness. And steadiness is about how much predictability and stability a person craves in their life. And it looks at their overall pacing. And then last but not least, the C factor stands for compliance. And compliance is all about how willing or unwilling a person might be to follow procedures. So the thing to keep in mind is that we're complex human beings. It's not like we're jammed into one of these categories. This model is not in any way like just jamming someone in some spot and that's the end of the line. We, all of us on this call, have a combination of all four of these factors in our profile. We all have some dominance, some influence, some steadiness, and compliance. But what do you think makes us different?
We're all prime numbers. No, I don't know.
Yeah, yes, prime numbers. Anyone want to take a shot as to why, how are we all different if we all have each of these factors in our profile?
We all have different levels of each one.
Bingo. I don't know who said that, because I've got the slides on my screen, but you hit the nail right on the head. It's different levels of intensity that make us all unique. Now, yeah, there's, you know, only so many combinations that you can have, about 384 of them. But what happens is there are certain clusters that will tend to group together so that you can begin to spot these trends. And this will start to become clearer right now, because I want to look at the actual model itself and break down the individual factors. So here's a way to think about this. Think of each of the factors, D, I, S, and C, sort of being like a thermometer, where you could have a high score, a mid score, or a low score. But somewhere along this line, all of us are going to have some of this D factor. So let's look and see, what is it like when you have a lot of D factor in your profile? These people can be described as bold, driving, pioneering, direct, competitive, determined. And they make statements such as, yeah, let's just go for it. Well, don't we need to plan? Hell no, we'll plan in the car. Let's just make it happen. I'm going to go ahead and launch a Facebook campaign and throw $5,000 at it. Well, don't you need to do research? No, we're just going to figure it out and build the plane as we're flying it. That's a high D. Okay, well, the flip side of that is you got people who have a little bit of D or lower Ds in their profile. And they can be described as peaceful, agreeable, cautious, careful, humble, and mild. And they make statements such as, whoa, 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 stop the clock. We need to examine this situation first before we go charging in. So that's an example of a high D versus a low D. Let's move on to the I factor.
Should we raise our hands while you're talking to tell on ourselves?
Well, you could. Let me get through all four of them first, and then I'm going to come up for a breath. So the I factor is the next factor in the model. High I's can be described as optimistic, inspiring, persuasive, convincing, sociable, and trusting. And they make statements such as, oh, our business is going to explode over the next few years. I could just feel it. Now, think of the people on this call. You can already begin to start to figure out where someone's core style is just based on the type of language they use. So I don't think you need to tell on yourselves just yet, but I think you should be thinking about the others in the group and what you've seen through their interactions in the program, in the blueprint program, and in the group. It becomes very easy to start to identify where a person's core style is. So let's look at low I's. Low I's can be described as objective, critical, cool, reflective, skeptical, and distrusting. And they make statements such as, oh, well, that's nice, but show me the facts to back it up. So you can see the contrast between the high versus the low on the I scale. Let's go to the S factor. Remember, S stands for steadiness. And we're dealing with the pacing of an individual. So a high S tends to be more relaxed, systematic, logical, patient, structured, and unhurried. And they make statements such as, great idea. Let's form a team and make sure we put together a detailed plan of action. So these are the folks who you run in contact with or come in contact with who they like to plan a meeting, to plan another meeting, to plan one more meeting so a committee can be formed. These are your S's. Now we're getting to the pain in the ass side of the graph from a selling perspective, because when we start hearing committees and this and that, you're not going to close these folks on the first shot. No. You're not going to close them on the second shot, and probably not even on the third. But at least now you can begin to get an idea. We're not even into the nitty-gritty. But S's, you're going to have to take your time a lot more with compared to a D or an I, because that's just the way they're wired. Now, low S's can be described as dynamic, hurried, intense, flexible, progressive, and excited. And they make statements such as, we don't have time. Let's move out now. We'll plan as we go. So you can begin to see the contrast here. And some of you have probably already connected the dots to say, well, wait a minute. That low S sounds an awful lot like the high D.
Yep.
And the answer is that is absolutely correct. There is some linkages there, and we'll get more into that in just a moment. And finally, we have the C factor, and C stands for compliance. So a high C can be described as precise, perfectionistic, orderly, diplomatic, accurate, and meticulous. And they make statements such as, we have rules and procedures that are intended to be followed. These are the letter of the law type of people who you're not going to get any wiggle room with, because they just live to dot the I's and cross the T's. And that's okay. I mean, yeah, there's certain roles and positions that's what you need in the job. I will go on record and tell you that these are the hardest people to sell to. Hopefully they're not often in charge of booking entertainment, though sometimes they are. Because C's are going to ask you 8 million questions, and we'll get more into that shortly. And then the last group here, low C's, can be described as radical, independent, conventional, fearless, uninhibited, and self-willed. And they make statements such as, they're just guidelines. By the way, do you have a copy? I've been working here 7 years. I haven't really read the employee manual. So you can see that this also correlates with a high I. Oftentimes you'll have a high I with a lower C. So what I'd like to do for a second here before we move to the next phase, let me switch this back to camera so that you can
see
my smiling face here. Hang on just a moment.
Yeah.
Am I back on? Could you see me all right?
No, in the lower left, there's little things that stop video or that says stop screen share. It's at the
There we go. Yep. All right. So wait a minute. Does that?
No. You stopped your video. I'm sorry. I meant to say stop screen share. I think it's probably up at the top center. Maybe
you're giving me the wrong information there.
I am.
Share.
I'm a low C.
Okay. Stop share. There we go. Yes.
You
are a low C. Absolutely. So let me see what questions we've got so far. And because I want this to be as interactive as possible. And we're doing good as far as time. So
great.
Questions at this stage of the game that have come in at this point.
Anyone got a question? There's just been some comments shooting around. I think right now we got this great foundation. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, then I'll just basically say that, so what you're proposing is by learning the basics of these categories that on a phone call, I can make almost instant assessment of the type of person I'm speaking to. And then I will know how to move forward and handle them because of the type of person they are.
You got it. And I will tell you this, I have closed, and this is no bullshit, I have closed 5- and 6-figure deals by obviously not in the entertainment side, on the assessment portion of my business. I have closed those types of deals without ever meeting people in person, all by phone. So I don't have the traditional mechanisms to go by, such as, are you looking at someone face to face? Are you watching their body? I don't have any of that. All I have is their voice and the words that they choose. So you are right on the money with how to use this stuff. Yes, sir.
I've got a question.
Sure.
Tracy, that's Tracy in Australia. She wants to know if it's
I'm sorry. I say yes for by default. I'm looking at your picture here, and forgive me. Yes.
She wants to know if it works with an Australian accent. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead, Tracy.
So I've been lucky enough to know a little bit about these DISC and other styles of personality types, so to speak. But my challenge is I keep forgetting to utilize these skills. And when I'm on the call, the challenge is to identify quickly.
I've got you covered. Stand by. You're going to like what's coming up. I've got you covered.
And also how to adapt to these people. So that's the challenge.
You're in the right place. And like I said, this is usable stuff. It's practical stuff. And I've got a mechanism that's going to guide you right through that. So hang in there.
I'm excited.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Any other comments before I go back to the slides or questions or anything?
All those blinking lights off your right shoulder, Michael, making you look like you're from a Disney movie.
We'll get rid of that, and we'll go back over here.
Oh, no, it's great.
I got to go back.
Move his right arm. Move his arm.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, here we go.
All right. So this, we already saw that. This is an example of one of the printouts from the assessments that I work with. And the only reason I threw it in here is to give you a visual representation of when we put people through an assessment, we can actually tell you the percentages of each of the factors in their profile. So you can see this individual has, and this was actually from, let me make sure I got the name off of this. Yeah. This was like as of 10 o'clock today. This one just came through. So 51% D, 100% I, 28% S, and 51% C. Now, without knowing anything else, just from the little bit of time we've been together, looking at this graph, who wants to take a shot and just give me an idea of what type of person you think this might be? And I'm not going to beat you up if you don't get it right, because you're going to end up getting more information correct than you realize. So just take a shot. Just looking at the graph we're looking at is the one on the left. Don't worry about this one on the right. This one right here with the arrows.
I'd say it's kind of a very strong personality, kind of a wild gun, shoot from the hip type person. And the other two being at 50%, I'm not sure if we even count those. Is 50% like baseline?
Well, not exactly. I don't want to get too much into the nuances of the assessment, but you already got the most important part. This person is a raging eye. Okay. Yeah. Meaning they're going to be more of that fly by the seat of your pants type of person. Build the plane as we're flying it. High energy.
Is that Trump? Is that his? No.
Hell no. he's 100% D, period, is the it? End. Oh, yeah, wow. Absolutely. I guarantee. I mean, we've been using him in the literature for examples long before his presidency. Yeah, wow. he's not persuasive. He's a dictator. And I don't want to get off on that tangent. But I mean, it is a good teaching model. If you want to see 100% D, look at the president of the United States. I don't care, you know, whether you're for or against. It is what it is. It's the data that's there. But with a high eye like this, you can expect that to overshadow everything else with regards to these other traits. Now you're probably asking yourself, well, this is great, Mike, but who the hell's going to give an assessment to the client and then figure out you don't need the assessment. I show this just as a reference point because I'm going to show you how to get in the ballpark so that you're figuring out, is their core style a D, an I, an S, or a C? And when I say the term core style, what I'm focusing on is which style is the strongest. Now, yes, you can have two that are maybe running neck and neck, and we'll show you how to deal with that. But in this case, this person would be very easy to identify because they'd be in the room and you go up to them and they're, hey, how you doing, Barry? Great to see you. It's been a long time. How have things been going? Business good? There's just that intensive, persuasive energy, enthusiasm, excitement. And it becomes, it's how they move through life. So I showed this just as an example so that you can see that this does actually give us the indices of the percentage of each of the scales there. The reason, for those of you who are highly theoretical and want to know why there are two graphs, this actually measures a person's natural style or their primary style, and it also tells us how they're adjusting to the work environment, which is important for you to know because behavior is actually adaptable within a certain degree and within certain limits. So if you look over here, this is a person's natural style. Here they kind of brought the D up a little bit, brought the I down a little bit because they may realize they're being too intense. S and C stay about the same. So that's the beauty of this, unlike other models such as Big Five or Myers-Briggs or some of the other things. Not that I have anything against them because I don't, but DISC is a flexible behavioral model, meaning you can change these behavioral components as you need to within certain limits to be able to adapt to different situations. Wow. So let's start getting into some application here as far as how do you identify the styles? Because remember, as we go through this, we're going to be almost hitting three notes at once here, and that is identifying your style, identifying the style of others, and then how to adapt. So all these things are going to be happening in concert, starting with the slide after this. And this is probably the most important slide in the deck. And you notice it's sort of this self-referring deal here. Get the style, and then uncovers the traits. Uncover the traits, and you get the style. Let me explain. The beauty of this model is you don't need an assessment. You don't need to have someone sit down and fill anything out. You just need to be aware of how they are behaving. So let's start back this way. Uncover the traits. That's the easiest place to start. All I'm talking about there is, how is this person interacting with you? Are they speaking quickly and abrupt, or are they more laid back? How are they dealing with a lot of details, or are they just big picture thinkers? Do they get angry very quickly, or are they calm? Those are traits. Those are specific behaviors that will lead you to identify what a person's style is. So if someone is very direct, bottom line oriented, task focused, those might be the traits. That's going to tell us that they're a high D. And then you could begin to implement all of the things that you will learn about high Ds within the next 25 minutes so that you'll deal with them more effectively and more efficiently. But this works the other way too. if someone tells you, let's say you're speaking with people who happen to know the DISC model, and they, because believe it or not, this is very common in the corporate world, very, very common. So it's not uncommon for people to say to me, before I even bring this stuff up on a phone call, oh yeah, well, I'm a high D, so bottom line it for me. That's all I need. That's all I need to know. Because in that point, I got the style and I know the traits that they want and that they crave in order to make their life more effective. That's good. This is all going to become crystal clear starting with the next slide. I know it's a little amorphous right now, but here we go. So what I'm going to share with you now are the traits. These are the things you look for. So Tracy, these are the things that you start to key into on the phone call, through an email, through the way people communicate with you, that's going to give us information on the style. And then once you get that style, you're going to have a roadmap of how those styles prefer to behave. So let me just stop giving the advanced overview and just jump in. Every style has an emotion associated with it.
Whoa.
When you're dealing with people, paying attention to how their emotions come across is going to give you information as to what their core style is. Remember, ballpark, not men's room in the ballpark. I just need to get you in the general direction. So if you're dealing with someone who appears to be impatient and angers quickly, you've got a high probability that this person is going to be a D. Okay? When's a good time to connect? And it's like, look, I don't have much time. Let's just knock this out now. If they seem to go from 0 to 60 very quickly, that's a D. And Ds are all about the bottom line. They're not going to waste a whole bunch of time. Is are very expressive. So they're like that example I just referred to a moment ago where they, hey, how you doing? They're very upbeat, effusive, enthusiastic. They've got high energy. A lot of people in Showbiz Blueprint, most, not all, but a lot of entertainers have a lot of I in their profile. So they tend to be more expressive. So just think of the people in your life, and of course, think of yourself as we're going through these, and start thinking of examples of individuals who you've come in contact with who have a high expressive emotion, and you'll begin to say, yeah, they probably are a high I. You'll start to see these things connect. S's, now this appears, you know, on the surface, people say, wait a minute, what do you mean non-emotional? S's have emotions. Of course they do, but these are the private people. These are the people whose house could have just got swept away in Hurricane Irma, God forbid, or they may have just won the lottery, but you wouldn't know it because they're emotionally private. If they know you very well, then they'll let you into that emotional side of their behavior and their life. But if not, they're going to put a little bit of a wall and insulation up. So if you're trying to get them on the phone and get them all excited and they go, well, that sounds lovely. That sounds like a very fun time. Mm. Well, you know you're not dealing with an I when they have that type of timbre and intonation. Now, C's, and this is important from the booking and marketing side of things, C's primary emotion is fear. They don't want to get caught in the jam. They don't want to get sued. They don't want the boss chewing them out. They don't want people mad at them. So they want things that are going to reduce and mitigate risk. They do not want to take any risks at all. We're going to get more into that momentarily. All right, so let me keep rolling here. And believe me, I got support materials for you, so don't worry about jotting all this stuff down. I got you covered. Overextensions or weaknesses of each style. Ds tend to be a little impatient. They're like, you know, come on, hurry up. Let's get to the point, okay? I can tell you this, and Barry's going to be pissed, but too bad. A D is not going to sit and watch a four-minute CVI. They're not going to sit and watch a two-minute CVI. They're just not going to do it. Because they're going to look at your price, they're going to look maybe at 10 seconds of it, and then they're on to other things because they're impatient. However, the eyes, they love the CVI. Oh my God, look at this. This person's fantastic. Look, the crowd's going wild. It's wonderful because the eyes are more into just the experience. And what they bring in as a potential weakness is a little bit of a lack of organization. So you got to keep an eye on the eyes, because these are the ones who may drop the ball because they got so many things going on and they're a little distracted that they might not end up following through on certain things because they may be a little disorganized. S's tend to be a little rigid when overextended. They don't do change all that well. So S's are very comfortable in their routine and in their situation where they're you know, while we've never really had an outside speaker before, Well, don't think you're going to change that mindset in one or two calls, because they're used to the familiar. And then the C's again, the C's are the great people to have proof your documents and check things out to make sure that everything is the way that it should be, because their natural tendency, especially in a weakness situation where they're overextended and they may be overworked or overstressed, they're going to be overly critical. But that can be a blessing in certain situations. All right, now we get to some juicy stuff. I think Tracy mentioned this and a couple of others, as far as how do you start to get this information before you even get on the phone with them. A client gives us lots of clues, and how they write an email is a great place to start. Wow. Now I'm not talking about texts or short messages, because that's a different animal. That nomenclature is, you know, generally be brief and you use initials and, you know, short little things to speed. I'm talking about maybe an introductory email or however someone's responding to you. So here we go. D's are going to use very few words, no greeting, and they probably won't reply back to you. So if I was a D, and I was running an organization, and there was a staff meeting tomorrow, here's how that would go. Staff meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. conference room. That's it. No hello, how you doing? No goodbye, no hope to see you soon. You get an email like that from a prospect, get your ducks in a row, because they're not going to waste a lot of time.
That's key right there, Michael.
It's huge because if you come back with, well, just again using the CVI as an example, I'm breaking your chops partly, but there is some, you know,
great
some point to this, and that is a D wants the bottom line. If a D is focused on price, availability, how long is your act, you got to get there pretty quickly with them. They're just not going to sit and go through that lengthy process. So,
you know, it's funny. I know many, many, many producers I've worked with over the years that are high D's, as you say this. I mean, it's a minor email. Sometimes it just says like 224 Philadelphia. Okay.
Yep. Just as a side note, to file this away, this will make more sense as we go. But producers, a lot of times, if they're outreaching to acts, they're going to be more of a DC, because they got to be the driving force to get things done, and they got to get it right. Now, the part of the organization that's going to interface with the client, those may be more of the eyes who are more influential and the marketing type of folks, who they're going to find out what the client's requirements are and what have you. But people who are dealing with booking entertainment, they got to get down to it, and they're not waiting. They're going to move quickly. Whoops, sorry. So how do the eyes write an email? It's going to be using the same example of a staff meeting. Hey, hope you're all doing well. Did you have a good weekend? Listen, tomorrow there's going to be a staff meeting in the break room at 10 o'clock. Please bring a drink and snack to share and tell us one fun thing that happened to you over the past 7 days. So you're beginning to see how this kind of comes to life here, because we all have been exposed to this in one format or another. This is just putting a structure around it. S's, reminders, reminders, reminders. So I had a consult today. I had to interpret some assessment results. And I know my clients very well, obviously, because I've got their data. We set the meeting up last week. I got a reminder email on Friday. I got a reminder email from them today. Mm. And, you know, are we still on today for, you know, 3 o'clock or whatever it was? So S's will make sure that everything is in place. C's are going to...
One thing on that, Michael, it's interesting. You know, I hear that person, part of my head goes, what a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. It bypasses that for you, and it just goes to, okay, this is someone I need to deal with.
Well, no, there's still a pain in the ass, or potentially.
But you kind of say, hey, I'm just going to deal with him as a high S.
It's exactly right. That's what
Tracy was asking. You know,
that's the switch you have to flip in your head. Right. It's like, okay, this is how they want it. This is how I'm going to give it to them. It reminds me of when I was back in high school. I had this one teacher, Charles Roggeman was his name. And the name conveys everything about this guy, because he was truly a Renaissance man. And he had very specific requirements. When you turn in a report, it needed this type of margin, two spaces here, a whole litany of stuff. And there were people who fought that. I don't want to do it. I'm just going to turn it in. He, you know, forget it. He wants this type of cover. I immediately said, hey, if that's what he wants, he's telling me what he wants, I'm going to do it this way, and it's going to make life easier for everyone. So you can either beat him or join him. You don't necessarily have to like him. Oh, that's good. I don't know where that came from, but I need to write that down. Don't beat him, join him, but you don't have to like him. You just got to give them the stuff the way that they want it.
Interesting. Love it.
Now, C's, fact-based emails. They're definitely going to be in a situation where they're going to provide you lots of data. There's going to be a staff meeting from 10 to 10:30 in meeting room 2046. We're sticking with an agenda. If you want to have an item submitted for discussion, please submit it at least 48 hours in advance.
Wow.
Do not steer the meeting off course. So again, just going on record, these are the hardest folks to sell to. You can sell to them by giving them information. And just when you think you've answered all their questions, they're going to come back and ask you more. But you're ready for that. You know what's coming before it even starts rolling down the pike.
So this is great. This email one connects with me really well. And I wonder if others are, like in this example, you had the weaknesses, the strengths of each style. But this email one to me, every time you were talking about one, I go, yep, I know what client that was for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Straight on.
Do others?
I messed up, man. I mean, going by your system, I really dealt with them all the same.
Well, you know, I mean, if you really want to get crazy about it, you know, what you could end up doing, or someone could end up doing, I'm not going to do it because I hate writing. You could create separate funnels for the different styles. Now, that would be a nice undertaking for someone to deal with.
Yeah.
You could have a D funnel, and I mean, still within the different subsets of, you know, the post-gig follow-up or the business card funnel or whatever it might be, but then you could have one for D's, I's, S's, and C's. You're talking about being ahead of the competition. You know, the D is like, hey, good to see you at the mixer. If I can help you in any way, call me. Boom. That's it. They don't want a whole big deal. The I's are going to, you know, want more flowery, you know, energetic discussion. S's are nice and, you know, low risk. And then the C's are going to be, you know, here's my contact information. Should you need me, you can reach me during this time. Yada, yada, yada. All right, so buying habits, another thing that may be of interest to a couple of folks on the call here. Now, this is in general, but of course, this applies directly to what we're doing here. These are quick decision makers. They buy new and unique products, and they don't want to mess around. I forget what I had to buy recently. It was a roof for the house. Okay, I called. Well, we called one person, to be honest with you. They came out. They had good reviews on Angie's List. Their price was fair. They had a track record of 30 years. I'm done. I'm not talking to 58 people. A C will do that. But a D, if you've got a D who has the ability to make decisions for booking, you do have a probability or a chance of closing them in 1 to 2 contacts. Because they just want to move on with whatever is next.
Wow.
Don't try that with an S or a C or it'll blow up in your face.
Gotcha.
But D's are like, you know, net. That's why, you know, when you've seen me, those of you who are on here see me chime in on the forum about, you know, pricing and certain, that's where I'm coming from. I'm not looking to, you know, stir up a whole bunch of, because I just know how people behave. D's want what they want now. They are not going to wait. Those are the people who it's like, oh, we need an entertainer. They go to Gig Masters. They put in a thing and they sort my price. And then they start to look at the X. And then within 7 minutes, they hope to have someone booked and then they're on to the next crisis.
Wow. So, you know, it's funny listening to that. I think about the inquiry form that we have on our website. I mean, it's funny when people just inquire, you can just tell. I mean, you could.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you have someone who fills in the bare, you know, the star fields, which is what I do, if I'm filling out an inquiry form on someone's site for more information about a widget or whatever, tell me the mandatory fields with that star and then call me back if there's no phone number. I'm not putting my.
Do you have a D tattooed on your back?
Maybe.
Yeah.
because that's just, you know, you're right. How they fill out the form, if they write in the comment spot, in the comment box, a big, long, multi-paragraph thing, they're an S or a C, guaranteed.
Wow.
They just are.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh.
So you're getting this information before you even pick up the phone to have an interaction with them. I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm starting to panic, so let me push a little bit here. Eyes.
Hey, you know what? We'll run the recording, and I'm good, so.
All right.
We've got to drop off when they drop off. Let's
no, that's fine. I'm good. I can go a little bit over. So quick decision makers are eyes as well, but they like new, unique, and showy products, and they're impulse buyers. The eyes are the people who you pull out all the stops for and say, let me tell you what would be really cool to do at your event. How would you like it if we made the CEO appear from a birthday cake? And they'll go, oh, that's exciting. They get into that emotional experience. They are good persuaders, but they're also pretty easy people to persuade. So the eyes are the people who will watch the CVI. And then they'll say, hey, Mary, come over here and look at this thing. Here's a guy juggling ping pong balls, a chainsaw, and a bowling ball all at the same time. And then they are great ambassadors for your brand because they have that natural enthusiasm that they end up bringing to the masses.
Do eyes lean into intuition heavily?
Yeah, eyes are definitely more of a trust your gut, fly by the seat of your pants type. Now, the danger with an eye is that sometimes eyes can promise you the world and then under-deliver. Uh-huh. If a D promises you something, I'll get you a decision by Friday, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that decision. Eyes are like, oh, we got really backlogged, and you know, someone brought free cake, and we had a party, and yeah, I'll call you tomorrow, and then something else may creep up. So their intentions are good, but they tend to lose track a little bit of time due to that organizational issue that I was citing before.
Interesting. Okay.
S's are very slow decision makers. They start booking for their event in 2018 now. And I'm talking like November 2018. Wow. Well, here's a telltale sign of a high S. You get them on the phone. Well, we're just in the introductory stages of looking for our conference entertainer / speaker. It's like, oh, shit, here we go. This is going to be a big law because they don't want to commit right away. They want to make sure that they examine every possibility. They want to overturn every rock and make sure that there's not a scorpion underneath it. And they want to make sure you've got a track record. The S's and C's, by the way, are going to beat you up for the highest amount of references. And they're going to want to talk to people and make sure that you didn't offend an audience and deliver the goods. The I's, they don't even know that references exist. These don't even really, it's like, yeah, okay. If you screw up, we won't pay you basically, but the S's and the C's, they'll put you through the mill.
Wow.
So the C's, as I mentioned before, lots of data is how you deal with a high C because they're going to ask for it. And just when you think you've given them all you could possibly give them, they're going to come back and ask for more of it. I will tell you this, in my world, I have to deal with a lot more C's on the assessment side of my business than you will as entertainers. You'll bump into them occasionally, but more often than not, you're going to be dealing with a D, an I, or an S. Mm. So just bear that in mind. I don't mean to scare you with the high C, but go back and look at those times when things may not have closed for you on a deal and ask yourself, was it a high C and were you trying to push too hard, too fast, and maybe that's what broke the rapport?
Wow.
Because they're just, they need to analyze every facet. Now, vacations, you're certainly not going to ask your client whether or not, what their vacation style is. Although if you're friends with them on Facebook, you might not have to ask. I'll let that sink in for a second.
Yeah.
So you can, now we haven't even gone on that. I could do a whole nother session on how to use Facebook to ascertain someone's person. I love Facebook. It's the best longitudinal study mechanism that's ever been put in place. I don't post all that much, but I'm on there a lot. The first thing I do when a lead comes in is I run them through Facebook. And 90% of the people out there have no idea how to lock down their privacy, and you can walk in there and just go nuts and looking at all their stuff and looking at their likes and the dislikes and this and that, and you've got a whole, all right, I'm getting off tangent. All right, back to the.
No, man, I think that's either right on tangent or worth its own session. That sounds amazing.
Sure, please, yeah.
Before I forget, it's great how you're going through all the D-I-C-S, who you're communicating with, but a lot of the times what I've found is the person that's you're talking to, they're not the final decision maker, usually.
Correct.
The CEO. So how can you utilize this to close a gig if that's not the decision maker you're talking to?
Great question. So first off, you always apply DISC to whoever you're speaking to at the time. So if you're dealing with Johnny or Jane, a gatekeeper, well, you're going to apply the DISC model to them. So they may be all excited about, we're looking for entertainment for our corporate gig or the Christmas party. Great. How can I help you? You start talking with them, ascertain their style. If they're a high I, you're in luck because Now you can become their best friend and get them excited about what they're going to share with the decision maker. So you can do a little reconnaissance work while speaking to the admin or the gatekeeper to find out about the behavioral style of the person who they're speaking to. And one quick question you can ask is, so tell me, how does Joe typically make decisions? Are they pretty quick or they take a while?
Wow.
So that right there, if they're pretty quick, you know you're dealing with a D or an I. If it's going to take a while, you're going to be dealing more with an S or a C. So now you can start firing at multiple levels. Let's say you're dealing with a high I as the gatekeeper, but you've determined that the decision maker is an S or a C. Well, you can talk and pump up your show to the I, get them all excited, but then in the background, you can start getting your detailed proposal together and all the stuff that the S and the C are going to be looking for, your testimonials and the references, because you're going to be speaking their language without even speaking to the person. You're going to, just by, you have to noodle around a little bit. Another question you can ask about the decision maker is, tell me, what, and this, Barry covers this in the blueprint, you know, what type of entertainment have you had previously? Well, if they had a guy in there who was juggling flaming spears, an S or a C is not going to book that type of gig. They'd be afraid someone's going to get hurt.
Sure.
But a DI would. It's like, sure, I want to see what happens if he misses. I mean, that's how they think. So you deal with the person who's in front of you, and then you start to do a little ferreting or reconnaissance work. And then, and that's, you know, I'll just go back to this for a second. If you've got the name of the decision maker, which is very easy to get, you know, who else is involved in the process? Who will we need to speak with? Go on LinkedIn, look them up there. Go on Facebook, look them up there. See what this person posts. What are their posts like? Are there quick one-shot drive-bys or are they big, lengthy, long paragraph structured type of things? That's another rough indicator. Remember, I'm getting you in the ballpark. There are more scientific ways to do this, but a rough indicator is a very verbose person is going to be more of an SC. Someone who's responding on social media with quick little pithy responses, D or an I.
Wow.
So does that address that, Tracy? Does that help you?
Yeah, it does a little bit. Sometimes I do get clients who, you know, it's their first time organizing. So
sure.
The question on what type of entertainment have you had in the past, they'll be like, nothing.
Okay.
So how do you go out with those?
Well, one of the questions that you can ask in that situation is, what are you looking to obtain? What are you looking for this event to be classified as a success? In other words, how do you know that we've done a good job? Are you looking for people to be talking about it after it's over? Are you looking for a team building component? Are you looking for just excitement and fun? And then you can start heading in that direction. Now, I don't know you, Tracy, from a hole in the wall, but I'm getting the sense, and I'm not picking on you, but I kind of am, but I'm doing this for your benefit. I get the feeling that you're probably leaning more to the SC side of the graph, and you may end up getting stuck in the weeds unnecessarily. In other words, focus more on the big picture. Yes, it's good to get granular, but I don't want you sitting here overanalyzing to the point where you're missing you're missing the big picture. So the best way to use this stuff is just get in there and start using it. Start asking questions. Questions are your friend. You know, that's the best thing. Whether take DISC and set it aside for a minute, the most underutilized sales technique out there is probing and asking questions, because that gives you the gold as far as what you need to go after.
Yeah,
thank you.
And it gets them to talk too. Oh,
absolutely. What was that, Tracy?
I said, yeah, I'm totally an S and a C.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to let
go. Food on her back. Yeah.
So here's the thing. We talk about adapting. Let go of some of that. I know it's going to be a little scary. It's going to feel a little uncomfortable. But you want to be able to, you want to cover more ground, because I get the sense that you're missing some opportunities because you're getting too bogged down with certain little elements of minutiae that are just unnecessary. And yes, it'll take you a little time to get comfortable with that, but it's going to free you up. All right, let's keep rolling here. Driving tendencies. I'm going to do this one real quick here. All right, so Ds always drive fast. They're in a hurry to get somewhere. Hang on, I got music going in the background here because when I do this in front of audiences, I got songs that come in. Ds are always in a hurry, driving quick, they have some place to get to. Eyes are visual. They're looking around. They're singing to themselves in the car. They got their top down, windows down, wind through their hair, having a great time. S's are driving in a very relaxed manner. And the D's are usually beeping at them because they're taking too damn long to get to where they got to go. So S's are just nice and easy. They're not in any rush. And C's are incredibly cautious. They follow the rules. They follow the regulations of the road. Again, I'm sharing these tendencies with you here so that you can help identify your core style.
Michael, let me ask you something real quick. After 20 years of doing this professionally for, you know, thousands and thousands of people, when you see someone, do you get, you know, you showed us that little graph at the beginning. Do you see people as a little graph?
Yeah, it's I can't not do it. That's amazing. Not do it. It's just because it's become so automatic. And it's not like I try to do it. It's like it just kicks in. And you can get to that point. All right, so Barry, let me ask you a question. It's 9:01. How far do you want me to go? I don't want to go too far over. Maybe another 9 minutes, and then maybe you want to do like a part two to this, because I don't want to cut it short, but at the same time, I don't want to drag this out unnecessarily.
Yeah, so I think you've given a whole bunch of examples, you know, everything. We didn't go into the how to the vacation, but I saw the slides and each drives and the buying habits of each. That's really helpful. I guess, you know, what lands for me right now is something Tracy asked about at the beginning is, and you know, something I will raise my hand and admit that I have failed badly at adapting. What can we do to actually adapt on a dime? And
okay.
Does that cut our throats in a way to not be
All right. So that let's talk a little bit about adapting, and then we'll figure out how we'll do the rest of this stuff. Yep. So let me go back to camera so I can actually see you. All right. So I'm going to stop the share, and then we're going to go. Okay. So adaptation. The first objection that people have to adapting behavior is, well, I'm being fake.
Yeah.
That's not the real me. And to that, I respond with this question. Let's assume, how many of you are parents on the call? I am not. I'm a cat parent, but I see one, two, three. Okay. So let's assume you have an 8-year-old kid and an 18-year-old kid, and you want to convey the message to them that drugs are bad, okay, like Mr. Mackey on South Park. Are you going to deliver the drugs are bad message the same way to the 8-year-old that you would to the 18-year-old? Yes or no?
I'm not going to use the same words.
No, of course not. No, and you're not going to use the same type of intensity, and you're not going to use it's going to be different. The message is the same, but the mechanism is going to be different. Same thing with this stuff. So, yeah, you might not be a high C, but you're dealing with a high C. So what are you going to do? You're going to adapt your behavioral delivery to match their style and the way that they want information.
Wow.
So it's not a matter about being fake or phony. It's simply giving people what they want the way that, what is this? Uh-oh, restart required. No, I don't want that. No. Jeez, I don't know why that happened.
It's Irma.
Yeah, probably. You're giving them information in the way that they want to receive it. So you're not garnishing your ethic or the way that you behave or taking anything away from your morals. You're simply adjusting the communication modality. So the way you do it is by just doing it. If you get a high D, you're going to act quick and to the point. If you get a high I, you're going to be a bit more enthusiastic. If you get a high S, you're going to take your time. If you get a high C, you're going to provide them with lots of data. It's that simple, and it builds from there. Let me show you one other thing. I actually stopped this too soon, and I will get this to you, Barry, after we're through here. Let me do this. Let me just.
Hey, while you're doing that, I know you can talk and do some at the same time. You said a high. You want to get right to the point right away. An I, you'd be very enthusiastic. What was the S and C?
S, you're going to want to slow your delivery down. You may be super excited that you just did an appearance on the Today Show, and you're going to do all this, but you better just tone it down.
Slow it down, okay.
And then the C's, you're going to give lots and lots and lots and lots of information.
Okay.
So here, I'm going to give Barry a PDF of this. I put this together, how to recognize the style. You got a cheat sheet there, and you can't really see this here, but you will because it's in a PDF.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful. And
so it talks about, you know, what you're looking for as far as, it doesn't cover all the things that were on what I had in the slides, but it gives you enough. And then on this side, it tells you, if you're hiring someone, what you're looking for, if you're managing them, if you're selling to them, and if you're servicing them. This will be, I think, a very helpful asset for you, because this will help you start to realize what it is that they want and then how to actually give it to them. So what I would like to do, I guess, at this point here is, well, let's take a few questions, and then Barry, you and I can talk offline, because I didn't even get into the voicemail piece as far as listening to that. And
oh, probably, I know you
yeah,
haven't.
So what I want to do, rather than, because, you know, attention span of people is about an hour, I don't want to overload anyone. Let's touch base and do a part two to this, maybe even as soon as next week at some point.
I love that. Oh, yeah. We could have a double serving.
Because and then by then I'll have my uninterrupted power supply, and I won't have to worry about the power going out. So let me take a breath here and a sip of water and see what questions you have up to this point. And in the meantime, you can start using this stuff immediately and then report back in a week to let me know how things are going.
Oh, that was great. I mean, just this, yeah, last line you just gave, kind of that summary, the high D to the point, enthusiastic, slow it down, and lots of information. I mean, just that simple. I could see jumping into it.
This is usable stuff, and that's why listen, if you haven't figured it out, I'm a high D and a high I. Hopefully you've all determined that up to
this point.
I got that.
Okay,
so what does that mean? I have very little patience. I have a very low bullshit tolerance. I got to get things done. I like to have a good time, but I'm not going to sit and read an 8,000-page book when I could get what I need in a Cliff Note version. So that's what I'm giving to you all. I'm giving you stuff that you can take out there and use immediately. It works. I'm living proof that it works. Yeah. I didn't create this. This has been out there since the beginning of time, and it's just a very solid model that's very, very practical. And again, I guarantee you, your competition has no idea about this. They're out there saying, hey, yeah, you want me to come and entertain at your gig? You know, forget about that. That's just how it is.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, go ahead. Anyone have a question and want to follow up on something?
I think I've scared them all. Yes, go ahead.
No, someone there? Okay.
Yeah, so someone had a question, I think. I don't know. No?
I was going to ask
I was going to ask Jim.
I passed him in the chat. I didn't know. But Jim's someone in our group who runs an agency. And, you know, it's funny. I just wrote in the thing here. How does that sit with you and your agency business? You know, when you hear people, you must, you know, get calls all the time.
We get calls constantly, and that's what's funny is when you say this stuff, it really resonates, because this is exactly how I'll get emails that'll come across, or I'll get someone who picks it up, and someone's sitting there writing, you know, a novel when they're talking about their
right.
And then other people are just, and I'll get messages that will literally say, I want to entertain 4-year-olds, what you got?
That's your D.
And that's what I get.
And to those people, you write back, well, we could do a clown, we could do a balloon twister, or we could do a face painter. Boom. Three choices. Get in, get out. If you go in with, well, here's our website, and we got all this stuff, well, forget it.
And that's the mistake I made, is I'm like, well, yeah, check out our website. What are you looking for? Because I'm giving them more info. They're not going to give it to me, so I lose them.
Oh, yeah. That's so good. Yeah.
You get right in there. And by the way, here's something else to keep in mind. Email, you lose the context of emotionality. A lot of times people will think that high Ds are being rude when they're just writing a 1 or 2 liner. And they're not. They're just living their style. You cannot outrun your style. This follows you everywhere you go. And I do mean everywhere. It's who you are.
Oh, I love that quote. You cannot outrun your style.
Nope.
That's great.
I got two for you, Michael.
Sure.
Say you are communicating with somebody that you've never communicated with before. You're reaching out, cold call style.
Uh-huh.
Do you approach them with a specific, or like, what style do you approach them with?
Okay. Well, a couple of things there. First of all, after speaking with them for about, probably 30 seconds to a minute, you'll be able to pick up their style, because one of the things I didn't get to is rate of speech. So you're going to be able to ascertain their style quickly. D's are going to speak quick. I's are going to speak quick. S's and C's are going to speak more lower key. But let's assume that you have no idea and you can't get a read on the style. Start for the S first. When I am initially, this is not how I behave when I'm on a prospecting call, believe it or not, because I'd scare the hell out of people. They'd leave. So one of the questions, well, tell me a little, this is how I do it. Tell me about your event and give me a little background, and we'll see if we might be a good fit for each other. And then I get them talking. And in that minute, I'm going to be able to hone in on whether they're primarily D, I, S, or C. Wow. And then I can kind of relax it a bit. So I let them lead. I want them to do the talking. And I always use that phrase, which has served me very well. Let's see if I'm even the right person you need to be speaking with and if we're potentially a good fit. Because it lowers that confrontational bar and you're not fighting it out with like, you know, oh, this person's just trying to close me. Yep. Get them talking. And then once you get them talking, they're going to reveal to you very quickly which of their primary is going to be.
Wow. And if they're at work, is there any chance they're living in the adjusted?
Well, there is a whole cadre of adjusted. When you're talking about adjusted style, the short answer is yes, but it doesn't matter. You have to deal with whatever you're showing up with. You don't really care what their core style is versus their adjusted or adapted. You're going to deal with whoever's in front of you. So if they're a D, you're going to talk to them like a D. If you're seeing S behavior, you're going to talk to them like an S. So that is a possibility, but you need to deal with whomever is presenting at that point.
Right. We deal with the adjusted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know adjusted until you showed. I looked at that chart on the right when you said look at the left. See, maybe mm-hmm. that was part of my thing. You said look at the chart on the right.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that was just showing how that person was adjusting to the current work environment that they were in.
That's probably who we're talking to at work, is their adjusted style.
Well, but here's the thing, and I don't want to get too much into theory here. Companies that get the right people in the right position, there's very little adjustment going on. They are able to behave in their natural style, and that's what I help companies do. It's like we want people who spend the least amount of time adapting their behavior and are focused more on just doing their deal and not having to retrofit their behavior so that they can, what you see is what you get. They're natural and they're adjusted are almost identical. Hmm. So, but you'll get variances from all of that, you know, across the board. But
you're DN and I, you said, which are you comfortable adjusting yourself to an S or a C in a
In a conversation? Yes. Here's where I don't like it. I don't like it when I've got to do things such as writing. I hate writing. That's an SC task. Makes me mental. I don't like doing books, but yet I do it because I don't let anyone near my books. I've heard too many horror stories, accounting type of stuff. So it depends on what's going on. I can tell you if I'm doing like website stuff and video editing, which I enjoy to a point, that is a lot more SC than what I'm wired to do, but I can do it for short bursts. All of us can adapt to a certain point. What you don't want to do is adapt a huge amount for extended periods of time. Because that's what burns you out, and that's when you just say, I've had enough. So we all have to adapt a little bit throughout each day, more of this, less of this. But what you don't want is, let's say you're a high S, and you're working in a D environment where the S likes it nice and easy, but the Ds are like driving, forceful, making decisions, boom, boom, boom. That'll make you mental if you have to do that all the time. And people, one of two things happen. Either a person quits, or they're invited to leave, because there's just not a good fit going on between them and the environment.
And the good news is, for the most part, on this call, this group, we're talking about dealing with this for a couple-minute phone call. You know,
you all have the intellect, the ability, and the capacity to adapt. You're not adapting your act. You're not adapting your core being. You're playing the role. If anything else, pretend you're an actor and act the role of a D, an I, an S, or a C. And you can get through that. Yeah, that's super, super easy.
It's fun. I mean, it's really fun. And as you're talking, as you're giving these different examples of how people do things from vacation to drive to buy things, it was incredible that just the pictures in my mind that flew by when you were talking.
That's why I use those examples, because it's tangible and you can get an idea real quickly of how you prefer to behave and then other people in your life. I think Cindy had a question.
Hey, Cindy.
Me?
Oh, maybe you didn't. Okay.
Well, I could try to think of a question.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought that you...
It was me.
Okay. Yes, Tracy.
Because I'm a C and an S, I'm going to ask this question.
Of course you are. Yes.
Is it possible to like... not now, but maybe next time, can we do like a live demo on how you respond to different personalities, like do a role play or something?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So in fact, what I will encourage you all to do, if you want to go down that path, think of who you want to play. Don't tell me who you're playing. Doesn't matter, because I'll figure it out real quick. Yeah. And we could do a whole thing where I'm, you know, maybe doing a cold call, a pseudo cold call with you to try to pitch my act, and we can go from there, and you'll see how I would respond based on you know, whatever role you decide to play. I think it's a good idea. Sure.
It's funny, you know, I'm listening to this and thinking about like Jim's thing with his agency. You know, if he's an SRC, I'm just making this up, I don't know. But if he's an SRC and a D calls and he does that, the S and the C part of him may feel like, God, that call just sucked. You know, that was a unsuccessful call. But in reality, he gave the D exactly what she wanted, and it was a great call.
Well, I'd reframe that to say that maybe what he's feeling is uncomfortable, but once you realize the payoff on some of this, you'll feel uncomfortable because you're getting to the end game and what you want. And the reality is it becomes much more comfortable over time. I mean, I've got certain clients who I debrief assessments on who I know before I get on the phone whether it's going to take an hour to go over one person's assessment results or if I could do five assessments in 20 minutes. Really? And it's based on their style. What's my preference? Five assessments in 20 minutes, obviously. But does it kill me to sit there for an hour and talk about one result? No, I'm getting paid. It's what they need. It's what they like. And then they keep coming back. And here's another testament to this. And I say this not to brag, but just as another reference point to show the validity to this, because there's a lot of crap out there. Tons of it. In fact, when I first checked out Showbiz Blueprint, I put Barry through his paces on the phone. I said, look, dude, I said, I've been screwed by the best of them. I said, you know, you plunk down money for gurus and this and that. So pardon me if I'm a little jaded, but I got to ask you some questions. And we had a conversation and he connected with me. Okay. He did this stuff without even realizing it. But the point I was going to make is what happens is, I don't know what I was going to say. I'm totally – this is not uncommon for a high – where was I going? I have no idea. I don't know.
I was writing down a question I wanted to ask you, but
– all right, well, go ahead and ask that because I totally lost – I'll think of it when this is over, I'm sure.
We'll come back. Do we tend to each like our own type? I mean, who's your favorite your favorite kind of waiter?
Okay, so here's what I like in a – for me. I like a waiter who's pretty efficient. A lot of times I want to do my drink and food order at the same time. That's D, baby. You know, so the eyes are going to, do you want an appetizer? No. Do you want to, no. I just want to, just give me what I need. I want someone who's going to be attentive and efficient, which Ds are, make a little bit of social conversation. So I'd prefer a D over the I, maybe like if I'm putting it on a graph, 70% D and probably a 60 or 65% I, because there's just enough social in there to make it happen, but they're not going to hang around. They're not going to artibuco you. For any of you who watch The Sopranos, Sopranos fans in here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so real quick, Artie Bucco was this waiter. He owned a restaurant, and he'd end up sitting down with the customers and talking their ear off, and they were obviously getting pissed. They weren't interested in talking to him. I don't want that. There's this one restaurant I go to sometimes where it's like the food's really good, but the proprietor, I can't stand them. They sit down, and they sit in the booth, and they want to have a conversation. I just want to eat my lunch, check my email, and get the hell out. I don't want to have all this stuff going on. Yeah, but going back to your other question, the style that you tend to end up interacting with more easily, more often than not, is going to be the people who share a similar style to you. Now, that can backfire. Two Ds can end up locking heads and fighting. Two I's will out-talk each other and no one will listen. So there's all sorts of combinations of styles. We can get into that the next time if you want. But for a general rule of thumb is you tend to click with people who are like you.
Can you look at two people getting married and predict?
Now you're off into a whole other category. I will tell you this. Again, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. But it's not as important for the styles to be identical in marriage. 70% of the people, 70 to 75% will marry a style opposite. So a high D will marry a high S. One's the extrovert, one's the introvert. Ah. One's a detailed person, one's a non-detailed person. So that's 75% of the time. It's not the style that predicts who stays together versus who doesn't.
Gotcha.
That's more on the lines of motivators, and that is a whole different conversation because what drives a person and what connects them and what gets them up out of bed in the morning, totally different animal, but that's what ends up keeping people together or causing people to. I can guarantee you, people who you know who've broken, who've gone through a divorce or even just a relationship ending, 99% of the time it's because they did not have the same motivators between them. It wasn't because one was an extrovert and one liked to be introverted. It's that common ground as far as the drivers, and maybe that's a super advanced course that we do sometime down the road.
Wow. But that's, well, I told you, I don't know if motivators and drivers are on your slides to do next time, but I'm going to.
They're not, only because it's a different model altogether, and it's a little. Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit more because that's, we're measuring something different. You know, in my work, there's like 400 different factors that I can measure. So I wanted to give you stuff that was the easiest to implement.
Oh man, you nailed it.
And it's a different deal with that.
One more question, Michael.
Of course. See, so this is one last thing. This is proof that the model works. The person who asked, and I'm not picking on you. I really am not. I'm just using this to show the model being what it is. The S's and the C's are very, very curious. They want to be very thorough. These are the people who want to make sure that everything is understood. And that's great because you give them what they want. So, yes, go ahead.
So I've had a conversation with Barry, and his style is never talk about money on the phone.
Now we're going to end up getting into some fist fights. Go ahead.
So I hear that a D is quite dominant and fast. So would you actually raise, like, that they just want to know, like, what they want? So you want to give them what they want. So do you talk about money?
Here's what I do. And this is all I can give you was what I do. There's obviously many different ways to go about things. So if I'm getting pushed for a price, I will give them a range on the phone. I will not give them the bottom line. Well, it's going to be X, Y, Z. I won't do that. I said, oh, it'll be between, you know, five grand to 7,500 or 75. It depends on the options and things that you choose. And I think I posted something recently on the forum, which kind of piggybacks off of this. For me, it helps me separate and sort through people quickly. Because if that range is out of their budget, I'm done. I don't want to deal with you. There's no chance. So I'm not going to quote the exact fee, but I will throw out a range. And if they say, oh, that's just not going to work. I had this one place they wanted to book me and pay for food and some other stuff for $1,000. They said, bye, we're not a good fit. I mean, there's no way. So in that situation, I know that was definitely the thing to do. So I think if a D will just ignore you if you don't give them what they need. So you got to give them something, but I wouldn't give them everything. So a range tends to work well.
It's funny, Mike. I'm thinking about my end clients, you know, that I really prefer working with. You know, I mean, there's a handful of producers, of course, I've worked with. But I have a hard time putting my finger on many Ds who are end clients. Mostly producers and meeting planners are D clients.
Right. Yeah, the people who you will get if you're dealing with the end client directly or through producers like Jim is dealing with, you know, Jim will be the D, but you're going to deal with the I, the person who's like, hey, I'm responsible for planning the company meeting. Woohoo!
That's who I can relate to as end clients.
However,
those people get assigned to book the entertainment.
Right. So, but that's all right. I'd rather have an I or a D, to be honest with you. D's, it sounds, I'm getting the feeling that D's might scare some of you. D's are great because you're going to know whether you're in or out real quick. They don't play this game. Well, let's look at the committee. S's will do that because they want to drag, they don't want to offend anyone. S's, they won't tell you, no, we went with someone else. They just ignore you. They stop taking your calls. They won't respond to your email. They're afraid. And I can't stand that. Just tell me, no, we booked someone else. All right, thank you very much. We'll try again next year. See you, bye.
Yep.
All right, I'm about talked out. So let's go ahead and kind of pull this in. If there's any other questions, any other questions from anyone else before we wrap it up for this time?
I will promise all you guys, think for a second if you have any questions on parting shots, but I will promise you guys, Michael and I will jump on email or phone, and I will do it very quickly with him. I won't beat around the bush.
I'll cut you some slack.
We'll get a time to connect and bring another part two of this because this is amazing. This is fascinating. I just absolutely, I'm enthralled. You mentioned something earlier about talking with people and how we do it. And it reminds me of a woman I saw speak. And I think I mentioned this on our call with you. There was a woman named Sally Hedgehog who does this thing. And I'll just show the screen real quick. She goes, how to fascinate. She gives this test right away when you want to come in here. It's this test you take. And then depending on your answer, because I did this, I answered questions all differently, and I was put into a different funnel that spoke in a completely different way.
Of course. Man, you could use this information to write copy so that you turn on or off certain people. I didn't even get to talk about polarization, and maybe we'll do that next time.
Make a note for next time,
Okay, because, you know – there are certain people I like dealing with more than others. So yep. What I try to do is I want to get those people attracted to me and honestly repel the ones who are going to be a pain. And you could do that by certain languaging based on the style. Certain people will read a sales letter and it clicks with their style. They're like, oh, wow, this is great. Others are like, ugh, I don't. Yeah. Well, that's fine. If I write it effectively and the ones who go, ugh, are the ones I don't want to deal with, that's great because we're sending them.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was brilliant. And she talked about this when she was at this conference in front of 3,000 or so people, just knocked it out of the park, but talked about her assessment test and showed her funnels depending on how you answered.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the conversion rates were at an insane, though. And that's what you're talking about, but finding that out first. So,
yep.
Well, you guys, thank you, Michael. Huge. Gosh, what a wonderful presentation today. We'll do part two of this thing.
Actually, this is good because then what will happen is those who are online can maybe watch the first one of these and then maybe have some more for next week. I'm going to be out of pocket for the next couple of hours, but I'll be back in the chair later tonight. I'll shoot you an email and we'll figure out when we're going to do the second part of this.
Thank you so much. And someone asked about the cheat sheets. I'll hit you up for that PDF.
Yeah, I'll send you that later tonight as well. You can put that in the forum or wherever you want to put it.
On the replay page, yeah.
On the replay. Perfect. Excellent. Very good.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Hey, Michael.
You're very welcome.
There was 100% retention rate, so I think we killed it.
Sorry, Michael. All right. Thank you all very much. All right, guys. I'm dropping off. Thanks. Bye-bye.